Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness with purity of purpose. We realize that many may be offended by the encouragement to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church, but it is our hope that many will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We bring this to you, for we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to continue our series on Understanding End Time Prophecy with Part 4. Last week we talked about the concept of the animal nature, which is represented by the beasts of Revelation 13. We also talked about the different Bible references for Satan, which use an animal as the designating term. We generally covered the references to Satan as serpent and as the great red dragon, but we weren't able to examine the last type of Satan's animal nature, Leviathan. We'll do that today. However, I want to remind you that if you missed the previous message, or in the near future you miss one of the succeeding messages for this series, or any other subject, or even if you didn't miss it and you would just like a copy of this series or any of our other messages, please feel free to call or write to us. Our material is free for the asking. Just listen at the end of the program, and Kim will give you my phone number and also our address, as well as an email address with which you can reach us. Now, as I said, today we'll take a look at the Bible reference to Leviathan, one of the animal names the Bible uses for Satan. By using the term Leviathan, Scripture indicates a different perspective of Satan, and it's with Leviathan that we see the aspect of the devil as a sea dragon. Leviathan is pretty much the same thing as a dragon, only this particular word implies a dragon which has as its dwelling place the sea. In short, the original language implies a word which means great sea monster. Leviathan, as a term for Satan, actually describes Satan's role of deception as a great monster which uses a sea of lies for his destruction of God's people. In chapter 41 of the book of Job, we have a description of Leviathan as an unbelievingly ferocious and powerful sea monster which cannot be tamed except by God himself, who was the creator of it. The Bible's reference is symbolic and represents Leviathan as huge and powerful, so much so that when it swims in the sea it causes a path to shine behind it, much the same as the waters foam out into a wide, shiny pattern behind ocean liners in these modern days. Now, I suppose that I should point out that some current-day teachers of prophecy indicate that Leviathan is some kind of large whale, or that maybe the Bible is referring to an ancient sea creature which is now extinct. But in Isaiah 27:1, we see that Scripture refers to Leviathan as the piercing serpent, and also that crooked serpent, and also the dragon that is in the sea. Let's read this verse. It says, "In that day the Lord, with his mighty and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." I think this verse makes it pretty clear that when the Bible talks about Leviathan, it's actually talking about Satan. Satan is that piercing serpent, and he is that crooked serpent, and is also the dragon that is in the sea. And notice that in that same portion of the book of Job, we have an animal designated as Behemoth. Just as Leviathan is not an extinct animal or a whale, Neither is Behemoth a water ox or a hippopotamus. Because the description of these two animals are found in the same portion and context of Scripture, we know that if the one is a symbolic expression, then the other one can certainly also be a symbolic expression. As for Behemoth, I'll talk more later about that giant animal, but for now, let's concentrate on Leviathan. Because Leviathan is a sea monster, and because Leviathan refers to Satan, we need to look at the symbolism of Scripture, which implies that certain waters are the dwelling place of the devil. Normally, water is seen as pure, such as in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Let's read those verses now. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Here we see water as pure, and that it cleanses God's people from sin, just as water can clean your clothes when they've become soiled. Of course, we know that just washing with actual water will not truly remove our sins, but when we look at the word water and realize that when the Bible speaks of water, it is actually speaking symbolically about knowledge, then we can see how the Word of God, the knowledge of God, can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In this sense, we understand that the concept of water is actually being used to give us a greater depth of understanding of God's truth. It is the water of God's Word which can take out the spots that blemish our sinful robes and make those robes to be robes of righteousness, which are then as white and as pure as snow. We know that if we believe the Word of God, and therefore accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we will be delivered from sin. In this sense, the water of the Word cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Pure water is one of the symbolic representations in Scripture for the Word of God. The reason water is used symbolically to represent God's Word is that it gives us a graphic picture of God's salvation plan for our lives. But even more importantly, in our discussion of Leviathan, we see that impure waters, those waters that are contaminated, are really symbolic of Satan's lies. Just as the pure waters of God's Word can deliver us from our sins and gain us eternal life with God, the impure waters of Satan, those waters that are contaminated, can destroy us. Waters, when seen symbolically as knowledge, can either give us life or they can destroy us. The real essence is whether those waters are pure or whether they are impure. When looking at God's Word, we know that it is pure. We know that the Word of God is true. It's knowledge that gives eternal life. And we also know that what Satan tells us is not really true. The knowledge we gain from the devil is contaminated knowledge. When we use water as a symbolic term to represent water, we then realize that we can describe God's pure Word by referring to it as that pure water which flows out from the throne of God. And, in the same sense, we can also describe the contaminated word of Satan by referring to it as contaminated water. In essence, Satan's word can be described as water that was first pure until it was contaminated with lies. Basically, in a nutshell, that's all the Bible implies when it speaks of water. The pure water indicates God's Word, which is true. The impure water indicates God's Word after Satan has completed his evil work of mixing lies with the truth. The result of God's truth, after Satan has twisted it out of proportion with lies, is that the truth is no longer pure. But God does not want Satan's lies to continue, for if they do, the truth of God's Word will be contaminated, and the result of this contamination will be that instead of God's Word bringing eternal life, it will bring eternal destruction. We can only hope for eternal life if the lies of Satan are removed from the truth, and then, by knowing the real truth and receiving it, we can be saved from everlasting destruction. Let's take a minute here and bring out the concept of the two waters more fully. To do this, we'll have to look at the first chapter of Genesis, because this is where the scriptural symbolism begins, which describes the pure water of God's Word and also the impure water of Satan's lies. First, I'm going to read Genesis 1, verses 1 through 6. As I read, see if you can guess what is really taking place before I explain the symbolism. Okay, here goes. Starting with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament, an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." So, did you happen to notice what was actually taking place here in the beginning of God's creation? There were some very interesting events which took place, and if we can recognize the symbolism of these six verses, we can much more easily understand what God is saying in other passages of Scripture. Let's look at verse 1 again. We can see from reading this verse that God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, that much is comprehended quite easily. But then, verse 2 is even more significant in that it tells us that after the initial creation of heaven and earth, the earth was still without any form. It was void, meaning that it had nothing on it or in it. It was completely empty. There were no mountains, no valleys, no grass, no trees, nor any living thing. It was completely void of everything. It was also completely dark. Up until this time, no light had shone on it. This means that there were no suns yet. Even stars did not exist, for stars are actually suns which are extremely far away. The moon did not shine because the light of the moon is only a reflection of the sun. Darkness prevailed over everything. The universe was dark until God created light. Then in Genesis 1:3, we read that God created light. This is a very interesting point to consider when looking at the Bible, especially in its implications for prophetical scriptures. To understand the symbolism of words in Scripture is a major step in understanding prophecy, and this first act of God in developing the earth is important. 2 Corinthians 4:6 refers to this initial creation of light and adds to our understanding of the symbolic nature of God's Word. In these verses, the Bible uses the symbolic terminology of light to represent understanding which can come to mankind through the knowledge of God's Word. Light implies true understanding, which comes from God when His Word is established in our hearts. Darkness, the opposite of light, is the complete absence of understanding because God's truth is not able to find a solid footing in us. Now, that sixth verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God has determined to give His people understanding of the truth, but it is Satan who has determined to destroy the truth of God. In order to destroy the truth of God, Satan has introduced lies into it, thereby contaminating it. The end result of God's truth, after being contaminated with lies, is partial truth. Partial truth, because it is not 100% truth, is actually a lie. Truth is only truth when it is all truth. Satan's purpose is to discredit God by destroying the truth of his word. If the word is contaminated, Satan knows that it, the truth of God's word, will be insufficient to deliver us from darkness. It is light that is needed, and this light is the clear understanding which can only come from perceiving the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It is perfect understanding of the pure word that is needed, nothing less. Words can be either true or false. They can be either truth or lies. In order to establish his truth, God has created the earth. His initial act in developing the earth was to create light. The creation of light symbolizes God's intent to remove the darkness which Satan caused to come about. The darkness is the enemy of light, just as light is the enemy of darkness. It's fairly simple to see that the concepts of darkness and light are symbolically representing the opposition between ignorance and understanding. The symbolism of light is Bible terminology which refers to understanding of the truth. The symbolism of darkness is Bible terminology which refers to lack of understanding of the truth. When God created light, he was demonstrating his intent to destroy the lies of Satan, which destroy truth. The blackness of the universe is symbolic of the lack of knowledge. God's creation of light was a demonstration of his purpose to destroy that lack of knowledge which had come into existence through the fall of Satan, and to reestablish perfect truth once again in the kingdom of heaven. But it is not just the intent to reestablish perfect truth that God was demonstrating, but he was also establishing how the actual work would commence. In the 6 days of creation, God accurately demonstrates his whole plan of salvation, which will eventually culminate in the eternal destruction of Satan's lies. As we see in Revelation chapter 22, in heaven there will be no more night, but it will be forever light. And this light will not be from the sun, for God himself will give us light. Now the next act of God in the first chapter of Genesis, after creating light, was to create a firmament, and this is the element of creation which has a great symbolic connection with Leviathan, the dragon of the sea. And the reason for this connection is that the firmament was an open expanse which separated the two kinds of waters. In Genesis 1:6, it says that God created the firmament, and that this caused a separation between the waters above and the waters below. The waters above are those waters which are the pure waters of the Word of God. God's Word is pure, and the waters God has referred to, which were above the firmament, were symbolic of his perfect truth. The waters of heaven are the cleansing waters, and they are pure. They are not contaminated. The firmament, that open expanse which caused the two waters to be separated, had made a distinction between God's pure word and Satan's twisted lies. The waters below symbolize Satan's twisted doctrine. This is why Leviathan, that great red sea dragon, is symbolically represented in Scripture as abiding in the sea. It is the waters below which are the distorted truth in which Satan dwells. In the beginning, before the world was created, iniquity had been found in Satan. Although he had been the archangel of God, and although he had walked among the stones of fire in heaven, and had been in the throne room of God, he turned from the pure righteousness of God's holy word and chose to reject God. When Satan rejected God, it was God's word that he rejected, for God is truth. In Numbers 23:19, we read that God cannot lie. God's word is truth. Satan rejected that premise and has thought to change God's word. Instead of accepting that God is the all-powerful ruler of the heavens and the earth, Satan rejected that knowledge and chose to replace that true word of God with his own twisted lie. Satan rejected the truth and set about to establish his own words, and not only has Satan determined to exalt himself above the throne of God, but he has also taken a third of the angels with him and still seeks to destroy all of God's people with those same lies. The waters below the firmament represent the lies of Satan, and his lies are spoken of in Scripture as the equivalent of the great oceans of the earth. The rivers and the seas are representative of the impure waters of Satan, yet God still has his truth, and his truth is still found in the earth. But to have the pure water of the Word in this world means that we must get the water of the Word of God before it becomes contaminated with the lies of Satan. In Scripture, the pure waters from above are symbolized by waters which are either from beneath the surface of the earth, such as waters from a well or springs of living waters that bubble up to the surface, or they are new, fresh streams of water, such as those which are caused by runoff from the melting snows of white-capped mountains or the rain which falls down from heaven. All the other waters in Scripture symbolize the impure waters of Satan's word. In these impure waters is where Satan dwells in the form of Leviathan. This great red dragon of the sea lives and thrives in the lies of Satan. Leviathan is that great red sea dragon, the devil. He is that monstrous animal which devours his prey, and his strength to devour comes through the lie. When God created light at the beginning, he was demonstrating his intention to destroy the lies of Satan. In essence, his creation of light at the beginning was demonstrating his intent to ultimately destroy the blackness of Satan's lies. We know that without the light from God, we would be cast into outer darkness. The blackness of the universe would be all-consuming if it were not for the light that God has created. In symbolic terms, the light from God was his promise to the earth that when his plan for the world was completed, the light of God would reign supreme and the darkness of evil would be forever destroyed. The creation of God is God's plan of restoring truth after the lies of Satan have been introduced into it. After the initial creation of light, God's next act of creation, which would demonstrate how his plan would be accomplished, was to create a separation between the absolute truth of God and the absolute lies of Satan. When the world has completed its course and the truth of God is finally known without any doubt, then there will never be blackness again, but only the eternal light from God. When God establishes his eternal kingdom with us, the lies of Satan will have been revealed for what they really are, and deception will never occur again. However, at this current time, we are still in the process of fulfilling God's plan. Satan, as that great sea dragon, Leviathan, is still inhabiting the earth through his lies. His lies are greater than mortal man can escape by his own power. The Bible refers to these lies as seas. If Satan can, he will deceive you and draw you down to his ocean of lies and drown you. An example of this is Peter, the disciple of Jesus, who had the experience of walking on water. He got out of the boat and attempted to walk toward Jesus, who had come to them walking on the water. But when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the boisterousness of the waves, he began to sink. This is what happens to God's people when they become overwhelmed with Satan's lies. The storm and tempest blow, and the seas rage out their shame, and men become deceived and are pulled down beneath the waves of destruction and drowned when they begin to doubt the truth of God. Leviathan is a monstrous, destroying animal. But through Jesus Christ, we can overcome the lies of Leviathan, for God has purposed that man should be higher than the animals. Yet, even mankind in their flesh and blood form cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But it is man's flesh and blood form in which we must first experience the fulfillment of God's creation plan and must become subject to both forms of doctrine. We must be born into sin and be buffeted with the overwhelming and destructive lies of Satan. In our human form, we must decide which waters we will accept and which waters we will reject. Will we accept the pure waters of God's Word and therefore receive God's promise of eternal life in heaven with Him? Or will we accept the lies of Satan as truth and therefore inherit eternal damnation from the presence of God? Will we be cast out into outer darkness, or will we enter into God's glorious light? As we continue this series next week, I'm going to attempt to give you a closer look at how Leviathan operates in his waters of destruction, and hopefully next week we will also take a closer look at Revelation 13 and the second beast of that chapter, which rises up out of the earth. This second beast is Behemoth, as represented symbolically in the book of Job, chapter 40. It is a very interesting perspective of the animal nature. I hope you can be with us.
You have been listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface. We hope you've enjoyed today's message, and thank you for being with us. If you would like a copy of today's message, please contact us and ask for message number 82, Understanding End Time Prophecy, Part 4. We have available CDs and written transcripts of all of our messages. We also have available a study on Revelation 13 entitled Image of the Beast. This is a study of over 4 hours of Bible explanation with 4 CDs and a 50-page written transcript. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Our email address is preparationministries@gmail.com. Preparation Ministries is all one word. The email address again is preparationministries@gmail.com. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. The address again is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. For more information, comments, and questions, please contact us. To speak with Brother Smith, please call him at 269-763-2114. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donations. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.